Welcome to another episode of the Money and Business Hero podcast, where we talk about the three pillars of financial success: money mindset, money management, and money making. My name is Florian Fritz, and my guest today, Mel Lieber. He's a finance whiz and he eats numbers for breakfast. He founded Finance Premium in 2015 and quickly became a leader in the field. And today he's here to eat some numbers with me. So welcome to the show, Mel.
Well, Florian, thank you for having me. I'm very excited for our main course of numbers. Don't worry, everybody else, you don't have to get so scared. I don't know how deep we're going to get in there. But it's something that excites me, which I understand. I don't have so much company here.
Yeah, probably most people are not that much into numbers. That's why it's good if they can find people like you to help them.
Yeah, but that's what I do.
How did you get into premium financing?
Okay, well, that's actually a good story with that. I'll give you a little family background quickly, which will, when you understand my family background, you'll see how I found my way right in there. So, a quick idea of where I came from. I came from a family super, super finance oriented. My father was a financial planner for over 40 years. My oldest brother, you know, my oldest brother, my sister, my other brother, they were just always talking at the table, finances, finance, stocks. As an 8-year-old, every morning I would run to get the paper to check the ticker symbols to see where my stocks are at, the ones that I really thought were so good, you know? And I was all into it as a little kid, which, don't worry, I still play ball, but I was, you know, really into this type of stuff. Fast forward 30 years, you know, my eldest brother started a hedge fund, super successful. My sister became a financial planner in the following the ways of my father. And my next brother became a day trader, you know, one of these Wall Street day trader type of, you know, does very well. And then it was my turn, the youngest. What am I going to do? So it's going to be finance. We know that. That's given. But I want to do something. So I looked around at the different industries and I saw that a lot of the financial service industries were, didn't make it, everybody was doing the same thing. And it was just a question of who could scream louder. Now, that didn't interest me to get into a marketing competition of who could scream louder, do the same thing as everybody else. So I knew I had to find something interesting, specific, and that could really help people that isn't being used by everybody. So I started my search and I went searching. I spent around 9 months researching different types of financial products until I found whatever I thought was the best. And what is best when it comes to financial products? So usually the more risk, the more reward, the less risk, the less reward. I wanted to find something that has a very high reward for a relatively low risk. I found premium financing. That was my baby. I researched every last thing that there was to research on it. I asked, you know, I went under some professionals in the field eventually to train under them. I asked every question that there was to ask. And I was that guy that got the deeper understanding of everything. And I realized this is it. This is the real deal. Obviously, there are risks, but the risk reward on premium finance is tremendously favoring the client. And that's what I love to do.
Okay, great. That opens a very big question, I think, because I'm sure not everyone knows what premium financing even is.
Mm-hmm. Far from everybody. I would say 95% of people don't know what it is.
So
if it
offers high returns for relatively low risk, those 95% might want to know. So can you please explain?
Yeah. Okay. So I'll explain to you what it is, and I'll also happy to explain why it is that most people haven't heard of it. Mm-hmm. So the basic idea of what it is it, we take an investment that tracks a index. Like, you know, the S&P 500, for example. There's many different indexes you use. That's the most famous, the S&P 500. Mm-hmm. And it's basically the main companies of the stock market. However, it's a safer product than putting your money in the stock market, because it has built-in caps. We'll have, let's say, a floor of 0 or a ceiling of 9, 10, 11, 12, depending on the product, the time, whatever. That's a longer conversation. But when you have a cap product, the way that it works is if the stock market goes down 20%, you don't lose anything. You keep your principal. Stock market goes up 20%, so you don't get everything. You only get 10, 11, 12%, depending on whatever your cap is for that product. And therefore, it's a way to get a nice consistent return without the risk of the market. We take that product and then we house it in a life insurance. We connect it to a life insurance policy because in the US tax code, anything connected to life insurance policy is tax free. And we don't like paying taxes. So we connect it, you pay a little bit, it's not free. You have to pay for some insurance, but you pay for some insurance, but it's a lot less than paying taxes. We connect it to a life insurance policy. And then we decide, you know what, making 6, 7, 8% a year is okay, but you know, I would love to do much better than that. So we bring in leverage, which we're going to borrow money very cheap. You know, nowadays we're borrowing at 5.5%. You know, a year ago I was borrowing at 2.75, but nowadays I'm borrowing at, you know, 5.5% or so. And we borrow money at five, and for every, let's say, dollar that a client puts in, depending on the situation, we'll put in $3, $4, $5, $6 of leveraged money to match that. So we're going to put in much more money than the client's putting out of his pocket. We use the actual investment as the collateral. All that money grows for you. And eventually, sometime later on, 15, 20 years down the line, you take money out of the policy, you pay back the lender, you end up with double digit annual gains, and you're happy, I'm happy, we're retiring at the Bahamas.
Okay, sounds great. So
Yeah,
far, sounds great. How do you create the cap actually? Is that are you creating the product or are you just finding
the
owners that
products
you
are
want to
out there.
do?
The products are out there offered by, you know, different companies that are, you know, $50 billion under management, Fortune 1000 companies, you know, not nothing that I wouldn't tell anybody to put their money with Bob's Money Management .com, none of that type of stuff. And you wire the money to unknown address in the Cayman Islands, promising great returns. None of that type of stuff.
Okay, good. So we have large fund companies creating that, taking and basically an ETF, but adding caps to it. So you don't
Correct.
have the downside and you cap a little bit on the upside as well. Did I get that right?
Correct. Meaning you're never, it's not going to be as exciting as the market because you're never going to get those 30% years. But overall, it averages out to be around the same place. I think you usually do better, but it really depends what years you want to pick. You know, some people will nitpick years to show that this product will totally outperform the stock market, whereas other like portfolio manager type people are going to nitpick the years where the stock market's going to do much better. So it depends which historical, you know, what you choose to decide what's going to, where it's actually going to do better. But the point of it is not necessarily to beat the stock market. The point of it is to have a much more steady, less risky growth period. And when you're using leverage, you need it to be more steady. You can't have something that's going to lose 30% in a year if you're using a leverage product.
So you're getting about the same average, let's say 7%, but you don't have the panic times when it drops 20, 30, 40%.
Right. Which would
So
cause a margin call in a leverage situation.
if you borrow at 5% now and you make 7%, that's basically you get 2% for free.
Exactly.
And
That's the beauty. There are some fees along with this, by the way. I don't want to be misleading anybody that there's no fees. There are fees. I wish I could snap my fingers and make it feeless. I can't. But yes. You gotta expect a 0.5% to be shaved off in fees over the life of the policy.
okay, if I get 1.5% a year for free, that's still pretty good.
I'm sold. That's where my money is.
Without investing all my own money, but other people's money. So that sounds pretty good. Why is it not more common? Why do 95% of the people don't know it?
Okay, so this concept has been heavily used for the last 25 years or so by the ultra high net worth crowd. The reason why this product was always used by them is the first reason is because the main reason why people need big life insurance policies is to pay estate taxes. Because they come in at the perfect time right when the person dies. And that's when they owe all this money to the government. 40% of your net worth above $10 million you owe to the government. So therefore, for some people, that's a lot of money. For some people, that's not an issue. but for those that it is an issue, some of those, especially the ultra high net worth, so they want these massive 30, 40, 50, $100 million life insurance policies to pay those estate taxes. Now, paying $1 million, $2 million, $3 million a year in premiums isn't so fun, even if you're very rich. So that was the idea. They had the real need of bringing in leverage to pay those premiums. Now, historically, the way that this only makes sense, let's just put it like this, is if I'm borrowing money for cheap, then I can make a spread on the growth above me borrowing money for cheap. Now, if I would go to the bank, like a ultra net worth guy, ultra high net worth guy, and I'm going to say I'm going to use this policy, which is very, very, very low risk as the collateral, then I want to borrow $1 million a year. So they're going to give me good rates. I'm borrowing a bulk amount, fine. Let's say I went to the same bank and I said, I want to start borrowing $25,000 a year. I'm not going to get the same rates as the guy who's borrowing $1 million a year. And then the next problem is I have to really get this set up properly with proper contracts and documents and probably trusts to set it up properly. If I'm getting one of these smaller policies and then I have to go pay a lawyer, $10,000 to set up my trust, $20,000, whatever it is, to set up my trust and all the loan documents to make sure I'm setting this up properly. I'm also not doesn't really work out. And then if you need a middle guy like me to actually put all the pieces together, and I'm going to make money on the, let's say, setting you up with investment product. Well, if you're investing $25,000 a year, there's not enough money, there's not enough cut in it for me that's worth doing the work of setting up the loan from the bank, setting up the insurance product with the investment product, and managing it all to make $500 is also not worth it. So, or if $2,000, it's still not worth it. I was actually involved in the company that started this idea of pooling people together. And so until 8 years ago, nobody heard of this if you weren't a high net worth. If you're high net worth, every high net worth person heard of it, because every high net worth, there's a guy like me with a suit and a tie who was trying to make a lot of money with them. So they all heard of it. Definitely if they're like in New York or places like that. If you're a high net worth guy in Idaho, you might not have heard of it. But if you're a high net worth guy in New York, you heard of it. There's some companies that came together with different strategies, a lot of them pooling together 200 such people at a time and borrowing together as a unit to get those really low rates and taking all the trust documents and all the contracts and making it the type that, just fill in the blank. And it's all set up for you for much, much lower fees. And therefore took away all the costs associated, as well as being able to negotiate on the behalf of all these individuals for rates that are really, really good, because now they're borrowing like $20 million a year for these groups. So they're getting really good borrowing rates. We're talking, in the old LIBOR days, LIBOR plus 1.75 or SOFR plus 1.75. 5.5% today is a very good rate that we're getting money. So this is something that's very attractive, and we get people in. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm still, I prefer the ultra high net worth people, because then I do make a lot of money and help them. But the truth is, I'm doing a much better service for the guy that earns $300,000 a year, wants to put $50,000 a year towards his retirement. I'm really doing a much greater service for that guy, because he doesn't have 20 people with suits and ties running after him.
So that's about the minimum you need, or the where you can start to do this kind of
So I
investment,
would say
50K a year.
the minimum is $20,000 a year. I would, how do I put it this way? I would have been the nicest way. I don't run after the $20,000 a year type business, but if the $20,000 a year business runs after me, I'm there with a smile.
Okay, so that's where it starts working and making sense for people.
Correct.
Okay, great. Now, does this work only in the US or can you do that in other countries as well?
So like this. It's a little bit of a complex question. It's not a yes or no. The basic idea is you have to either be a US citizen or someone that has significant things going on in America. Somebody owns a business in America, has significant investments, and this is not really going to be so easy for the $20,000 a year type people. They usually don't have like $2 million of investments in America. I mean, generally, but if somebody has a business in America, somebody has significant investments in America, if somebody's spouse is American, we could work it out as well. So there are scenarios that we could work it out, but if somebody has no nexus to America, no connection to America, then this will not be available.
Okay, I have a niece and a nephew with an American passport. Is that enough?
It's the type of thing also that if they have a US passport, it technically could work. There will be a lot of questions asked, so to speak. You know what I mean? But if the questions are answered correctly, then it would work.
Okay, and do you know if it's actually offered in other countries? Because the hedge funds that are actually producing those capped index funds, they're probably international comp working internationally, you know?
Yes, so it's interestingly enough, as far as I'm aware of, they don't really offer these products anywhere else. I'm not a specialist in this.
Okay.
Somebody once told me that there are similar things in Switzerland,
That
but
makes
I
sense.
haven't verified it, actually.
That would make sense. That's a lot closer to me, so I'm gonna try and find out because the concept is really interesting, I think. Great. So, Mel, since we're talking about money here all day, how important is money for you?
So, I actually have a very interesting perspective on that, which I think is maybe not so classical.
Good.
I believe that
Fascinating.
money is a very important tool, but too many people that I meet view money as a goal and an ends in its own right. And I think it's a very faulty perspective. I am somebody who works 25 hours a week. No more. And sometimes less. Now, a lot of people are surprised when they hear that because thank God I'm successful. So I'm not saying it's easy for everybody. Not everybody is in position to be able to do such. But thank God I'm in position that I'm able to do such. And I could, in theory, please God, I'd be able to work, 40, 50 hours a week and probably, boost my standard of living, even though thank God my standard of living is just fine. But however, there's always a more expensive car, you know what I
There
mean?
is.
So in theory I could, be hustling in, but I always ask myself the question, for what? I'm married, I have 5 kids, I get to spend tons of time with my kids. Yesterday afternoon I was in the park, had a barbecue with my children. Beautiful. What do I need to be hustling? Even though it was just a Tuesday afternoon, and most people on Tuesday afternoon are at work. And I decided Tuesday afternoon I want to be having a barbecue with my kids at the park. And I'm a very, very, very strong believer in this. And too many people get caught up in too many people get caught up in trying to get a stature with their money. That they just make money ends in their own on its own, and it's a very silly thing. Now, I'm not talking about the crowd that is struggling to pay their bills. That's a different discussion.
Okay, thank you. I totally agree that money is the tool and not the goal. Thank you for that. I think that's very well put. And yeah, again, you've already half answered the next question. What's your personal purpose for money?
Yeah, so my purpose for money, first of all, I'm a believer that in shaving the first 10 or 20% of what you earn post taxes should go to charity. That's number one. And that's a rule I hold strong. It's from a religious source. However, even outside of from a religious source, I think if you want to feel good about yourself, it's an important thing to do. So that's number one. And number two, I am married with 5 kids. So, But that's I'm but I don't think money's for buying fancy stuff. I think money's for paying your bills and creating something that, in Hebrew it's called yishuv hadas. What it means is to have a peaceful mindset. Something that you're not nervous about how you're gonna do your next further things. Now, as going back to what we said last time, there's some people that when they get their raise for $100,000, all of a sudden their standard of living gets raised by 120. If you do that, it doesn't help.
Actually, there is a statistic that, like, middle class people, for every pay raise of $100 they get, they increase their expenses by 137.
Really? Okay, so I didn't even see that, but I got that from talking to
Yeah, so yes, that's actually what's happening. Great. Thank you for that. Mel, what's your best wealth building tip for our listeners?
Okay, I love that question. Okay, so number one is spend less than you earn. It's
Okay.
very important. Then, when you have that extra money because you have spent less than you earned, you take that extra money and do not let it rot in the bank, but invest it, invest it, invest it. If you are, it's not so much money and, you're not going to money managers, not so many sophisticated things, put the money in the S&P 500. If you put money on the S&P 500 every month, fast forward 20 years, and you don't even need a guy like me for that. That you could just set up an account with Vanguard, and it will take care of itself. Just every month, put that extra money in. You'll turn around. You're going to have a lot of money. There's a lot of cool, sophisticated stuff that you could do when you have a little bit more money to invest. Whether it's doing something with me, whether it's getting a piece of residential of, I would say, a vacation property, real estate, or another property, and get that leveraged up, use the advantage of leverage and rent it out. And there's a lot of cool stuff that you could do. Obviously, you have to be well researched to know that it makes sense, but there's a lot of good things that you could do, and maybe that should be a goal. But just start off and start investing. Don't just put money in the bank. Don't buy treasury bonds. Go and take that money and invest it.
Awesome. Thank you. So spend less than you earn and invest the difference. I think I've heard that one before. Great. Do that. Now, Mel, if somebody wants your help because they love that premium financing concept, where do they find you?
All right, so the best thing is to shoot me an email. My email address is Mel, MEL, at financepremiums.com. FINANCED premiums, PREMIUMS.com. Or you could try to call me. I don't always answer, but 347-619-2999, 347-619-2999. Or you can check out my website, www.financedpremiums.com, financed with the D, premiums with the S.com.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. So I will definitely share those links as well with the episode. Now, is there anything we forgot, anything you want to add before we close for today, Mel?
Yeah, I want to add, Florian, it was a pleasure talking to you. I enjoyed. And thank you so much for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming. And thank you so much for listening. And I'm looking forward to hearing and talking to you soon again on the next show. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening to the Money and Business Hero podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode and you got some value from it. Please take a moment to leave a rating or even better, a review. That helps awesome people like you to find the show and me to produce more and even better episodes. And don't forget to subscribe. If you want to get regular free tips, tools, techniques on how to build wealth and financial freedom, or simply how to improve your financial life in all three pillars of financial success, join my free Money Hero Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/moneyhero. Find the link in the description or find out more on the website moneyheroacademy.com. See you there.